Glory when we meet, you're in the sky. Hallelujah. Give the Lord good praise in his house. Amen. Seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead. Oh, rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. Oh, in the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be. Will all the living saints shall rise to that jubilee. Well, what a day I'll sing. Oh, what a day. When we all shall rise. Oh, what a day. When we meet. You're in the sky. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Amen. It's going to happen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark's Gospel, the second chapter. Mark chapter 2. Again, it is so good to see you here today. And if you are visiting with us, I trust that you've already encountered the presence of the Lord through your worship. For we know, according to his word, that he inhabits and dwells within the praises of his people. Amen. And in case I'm not in the right frame of mind later, when you leave today, if you're visiting with us, if you'll go out those doors to the left or just kindly circle around in the foyer, there'll be a beautiful smiling face waiting for you. Have something special to give you. And to let you know how much we appreciate your visit with us today. Amen? Amen. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. We'll start at verse 1. And again, I like that. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's odd. That wasn't what they let him down there for. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason you these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never, water's parallel on this last sentence, we never seen it like this before. We never saw it on this fast. We've never seen anything like this. Amen. Just for a little while today, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach on the thought that he makes the difference. He makes the difference. Amen. If you'll pray for me, I'll pray for you, and hopefully we'll leave here together stirred by the Word of God. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, so dependent upon you today. And that spirit that makes it easy to preach, Lord, let it be in this house today. Lord, as I stir the unction within myself, I ask God, let your hand rest upon me. I yield my voice and myself today. Lord, speak to your people. Let your word, Lord, radiate in our hearts, and that we truly leave this place encouraged, lifted up, and we will praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Tell your neighbor, he really does make the difference. He really, really does. There are times in life that it seems as though we're spinning our wheels and getting nowhere. And in those moments, we begin to wonder and question within ourselves, well, what are we supposed to do now? The age in which we live, we feel that we must be busy all the time doing something. We're restless. We become easily bored. Our culture is a culture which craves entertainment. It just craves action. And we wonder why so many are stressed beyond the max. We wonder why we are not satisfied and become so overwhelmed with the everyday occurrence of life itself. Something we have to understand, it's not church that changes lives. It's not the church that changes lives. Only Christ can change lives. Only Christ, his presence, can make a difference in current everyday events and in the crisis and the chaos and the dilemma and the boredom of life. Only Christ can alter those things. His presence makes a difference. Throughout the Bible, we see everywhere that Christ showed up, there was a difference when he left. Amen. Either devils left screaming, you know. Somebody left healed. Somebody left mad. Pharisees would get mad. They'd get so infuriated because they didn't know how to deal with the rationale of his answer. And it wasn't what they wanted to hear, so they would become very angry, intolerant with him, plotting, trying to take his life from the very beginning stages. As we begin our text today in this second chapter, it says, and again he entered into Capernaum. So if he's entered again, he had to showed up one time before, right? He's had to have already been there. If again he's coming back, wouldn't it be wonderful if the presence of the Lord would come back again and visit his church? Well, I just felt that one. Wouldn't it be wonderful again that if the presence of the Lord would have preeminence in our culture, in our nation, in this country, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to know that Jesus, his presence again, was in his house, and where he is, great things happen? Wouldn't it be wonderful if he just showed up again? Wouldn't it be wonderful? How many of you remember the first time you encountered the Lord and you repented and that burden and that weight of sin lifted off and you just took a deep breath like you'd never taken a breath before? I remember that very vividly, how freely my breath came when the weight and the burden of sin was lifted off of my soul. It was just like, whoa, it's a brand new day. Amen. I remember leading a truck driver to the Lord one time out on a mountain out by a pond. I didn't know if I was going to get shot or what. This old boy called me. I ended up going out and meeting him, and we're sitting at a picnic table by his farm pond, and he was reading the scripture and just could not get a grip on it. I said, "You're not going to get a grip on it." And he looked at me and said, "Well, why?" I said, "Because you can't understand what it's saying until there's a transformation in your life." "Well, how do I get that?" I said, "Well, you repent." Led him to the Lord right there, and I'll never forget. When he opened his eyes, he began to look around. He said, "Man, how green the grass is." And I just smiled. I said, "Yes, it's very green." And he began to relate the nature that's going on like he had never heard it or seen it before. I said, "Now you can read it and get a grip on it, son." And we talked for about an hour. When we begin to understand that his presence makes a difference. Again, he entered into Capernaum. The first time he's there, he's fresh out of the wilderness. He's fresh out of an anointing with the Holy Ghost. He's come out. He's come into town. He goes straight to the church house. And the first thing he encounters is an old boy with an unclean spirit in him. And he casts that thing out right there in church. And the marvel begins. Their minds are already blown. And he goes from there into Simon's house. And his mother-in-law is sick. And he heals her. And she just starts serving around that. So from the get-go, from the moment he enters into ministry, there's some marvelous things going on. And he's talking with the disciples. He said, "Hey, we need to go to some of these other towns around us, for that's the reason that I've come, that I'd go around and spread the gospel, preach the gospel, preach the kingdom of God, amen, preach repentance and deliver and heal, amen." And so he goes about doing that. And after they've been gone for a few days, certain days, he comes back again to Capernaum, and he enters into the house. And now here's where things begin to get exciting. When Jesus shows up, when his presence is in the house, things begin to happen. He begins to teach. He begins to preach to them the word. We need more than Social Security today. We need more than more insurance. We need more than this. We need more than social ministries going on. We need more of the presence of God in this house. We need more than welfare. People need more than just help and assistance. They need transformation. And the only way that they're going to receive transformation is that the church again invites the presence of Jesus back into the house, and he begins to show up again. Because I'm declaring to you today, where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty, and there is liberty that is found by those who are bound, those who need a helping hand, those who need a touch, those who need deliverance, those who need peace of mind, those who need healing in their body. When the presence of Jesus shows up, things begin to happen. And you can always tell when Jesus is in the house. Why? Because folks begin to show up. It's not the "I got it all together" folks. It's not the folks that's just fine and dandy. But it's the hungry people that begin to show. It's the hurting people that start to show up. It's the poor folk who need lifted up that begin to show. It's the sick folk who begin to come through the door. It's the messed up folk, amen. It's the emotionally disturbed. It's the depressed folks. It's the oppressed folk that begin to show up. Why? Because there's an echoing that's going out. There's a proclamation that's being sent around that Jesus is over there, and if you go in there, you'll not leave like you go in. There is a change agent. There's a transformation that'll take place. He'll lift you up if you're down. He'll heal you if you're sick. He'll give you peace of mind if you're tormented. He'll help you if you're broke. Hallelujah. He'll be the one who'll provide a way. When Jesus starts showing up and things start happening, people begin to get excited and they begin to show up. That's what this house is. That's what this place is. It's like the pool of Siloam. It's where the sick come. It's where the hurting show up. And why? Because we don't all have it together, but I need to get it together, and I need a little help getting it together. I can't carry the load alone, and I need someone to help carry my burden. I want him to show up again. So many folk have a picture of Jesus in their house. How many of you got one of those? Come on, it's not a trick question. How many of you got some pictures of Jesus hanging around the house? I'm going to give you a little secret. That ain't him. That ain't him. If he's white, throw it out. Just go ahead and get shed of it. It's not sacrilegious because it ain't him. It ain't him. We don't have those in the house. What? No, I don't have an accurate picture, so why would I want a fake? Well, it just reminds me. Well, hang a cross on the wall. That's a more accurate image. Lord, I've just got all in somebody's Wheaties this morning. I started feeling my help show up, and somebody just run him out. I can't believe he's saying that. Well, I'm saying it. I'm telling you, that's not him. They were no Polaroids in the year of our Lord. They don't have an accurate image. And the best that we could come up with in our own mind ain't him. Have you seen some of the mosaics? Those little chips of porcelain and tile? They got him all twisted up. And they were a whole lot closer to his time than us. That ain't him either. So discard your pictures and put a picture of your family on the wall. And close your mind, your eyes, and begin to imagine what he may look like. And the best you can come up with in your mind still isn't going to come close to the glorious image of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So what we need, I don't need a picture. I need his presence. Amen. Because his presence begins to declare his glory. And when his presence is in here, I don't care what he looks like. It's not going to matter to me. It's not going to have one iota because I'm not going to be looking for his face. I'll be looking for his brow. Amen. I'm not going to be looking at the color of his eyes. I'm going to be looking for the nail-pierced hands that I may identify. He is the one who died for my wretched soul, and he is the one who has redeemed me, and he's the one that's picked me up. He's the one that's carried me all of these years. It is his grace that has enabled me to go from day to day. Hallelujah. I need his presence. He makes the difference. It was noise. Somebody went around telling everybody in town, hey, that guy's back. What guy? The guy that tore church up here a while back. You know, the one that cast that devil out of that old boy. Oh, he's back. Yeah. Where at? He's down there at that house. Let's go see. Let's go see what's going on. Let's go get a determination for ourselves. It was noise. He's in the house. There's something to talk about. Amen. We don't have to redevelop strategy for church growth. I gave that up a long time ago. I gave up strategy for church growth many, many years ago. And I developed this strategy. If I can just preach Jesus. Amen. If somebody can just get touched, if somebody can just get healed, if some folks can just get saved, if somebody could get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if somebody could get sanctified and their life changed and other people begin to see it and they get excited enough to know, hey, you need to show up over there at that church. Why? Man, there's some stuff going on. You won't believe it. That guy they've got preaching down there is loud. He spits. He gets down there among the people some of the time. He may even jump up in a chair. You just never know what's going to happen. Well, what is he saying? He's preaching the word. Amen. Because when you find out, that's exactly what Jesus was doing when they come to the house and they could not get in because of the crowd, not so much as even right at the door. You couldn't even get in to stand at the door, amen, to see what was going on. And while he is there, the Bible declares in our text that he was preaching the word to them. What word was he preaching? Well, I don't know. He could have been Isaiah 61 when he began to tell them, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the gospel. He's anointed me to preach the good news. What? That the blind are going to be healed, that the dead are going to be raised, that the lame are going to walk, the dumb going to talk, the deaf going to hear, and those who are bruised are going to be bound up, and those who are in captivity are going to be set free. He could have been preaching that to
he could have went back a few chapters earlier. He could have made his way to Isaiah 9 and begin to tell them his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Preacher. He could have went back to Genesis and begin to declare that the heel of the woman's going to bruise the head of the serpent. He could have preached it. He could have declared in Noah's ark. He could have told them that I am the ark. Ow! He just preached the word. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. Declare what's in the book. It's enough. He could have hit Isaiah 53 and foretold of his own death to them. But it's early on. He hadn't got to that far yet. He's just getting started. He could have preached to them about being the Ancient of Days, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the I Am, the Lily. Couldn't you tell? I don't know what he preached. He had a lot of material that he could have used. Straightway, many gathered together, insomuch there was no room to get in the house. When the house is filled with his presence, the house will begin to fill up with hungry people. I don't need another pat me on the back story. Hello? I don't need another. I need to be stirred. Amen. I guess it's because that's the way I come in this thing, and I guess it'll be the way I go out. I need somebody to stand and declare to me, thus saith the word of the Lord. I need somebody. I'm sure Jesus told them, you need to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's no way to the Father unless you're coming through me. I am that way. I'm sure he declared to them, if he preached to them the word and the gospel, then I'm sure he preached to them their need to accept himself as their Lord and personal Savior. I guarantee there's no other way in. There's no other way. There's no bypass. There's no express pass line. You go through him or you don't go. Plain simple. He preached to them his word. It may sound old-fashioned to a lot of folks. Amen. The house was filled with those hungry people. It may look ridiculous sometimes the way we preach it, but the word declares that he has chosen that through preaching that man becomes saved, and he has declared that it's through the foolishness of preaching that this happens. Why you say foolishness? Because some of us preachers can kind of act a little foolish in the declaration of his word, but he's happy with it. Why? Because he knows we are surrendered and yielded, and he can say crow like a rooster, and I have tried to crow like a rooster to make a point, to get a point across, somehow to reach someone. You say, well, that's silly. I know it is, but it touched somebody. Amen. And that's all there is to know about this. When we prepare, we declare, thus saith the Lord. And the declaration of the Lord is the liberating power that goes forth when the word is proclaimed. It is the word that liberates, because he is the living word, and his presence goes where his word's declared. Hallelujah. Faith comes only by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he's preached the word. They're crowded in the house. They came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. We got a paralyzed man being carried by four friends, making their way to the house. Why? Because it had been noised. It had been declared that guy's back over there to cast the devils out. He's back in the house. If we can just get our friend there. See, there's faith in a declaration already before an act is ever lived out. If we can get him there, you got four fellas that take up a paralyzed man, palsy. And this condition of palsy somehow has separated the response between the brain and the body. The man's thinking right. He's thinking very clearly. Everything's going fine, but there's a disconnect between his brain and his body. My Lord, isn't there a lot of that going on these days? There's a disconnect. There's a palsy in man spiritually, and many are suffering from a physical condition of palsy. There's a separation somewhere. So these four men say, if he can cast the devil out of a man, if he can heal Peter's mother-in-law's fever, and if he can do these other things that we... Oh, there's a leprous man that got healed, amen? And there was a, he healed a leprous man, and he went out. Jesus told him to keep it quiet, just kind of hold it down. Go and show yourself to the priest. Offer up what the law of Moses declares for you to offer, and just try to kind of keep it down. No, look here. If I was a leper and got healed, you're not going to tell me to keep it down either. I'm sorry, Lord, but here is one point of disobedience. I cannot keep this to myself. This is what you have done for me. I was a leper, doomed to death and ostracized from society, but you have cleansed me and you have healed me, and everybody's going to know who it is that has done it. And so he went out and told everybody, hey, Jesus, heal me. I was a leper, but look, my sores are gone. My ears back, the end of my nose, he put it back on my face. Look at me. I am healed way before he ever got to church. He told everybody who would listen, and fame is spread out. And now he's come back to town, and he's in that house over there. Those four could have maybe known the leper. And oh, if he healed him, if we can get old Bob in the house, I think he'll touch him too. And they get there, and they can't get in because the house is already full. His presence has already been. How can we get in? They begin to sing the old hymn. I will not be denied. No, I will not be denied. Go on the roof and make a hole. I will not be denied. I made that verse up. Sounds good, though. That's what they did. They made their way onto the roof, and they tore a hole in it. Many of us suffer from conditions of paralysis of faith, of emotion. We suffer from paralysis in many different ways. We all suffered from the paralysis of sin. Hello? We all suffered from that. Somewhere or another, we're all like this man in a condition. There's something that we cannot do for ourselves. You may be sitting in here this morning thinking, I wish you'd hurry up, for one. But secondly, I'm just getting started, so hang on. You may have something going on in your life that you are powerless to reverse. You can't do it. You may have all of your right faculties, but you still cannot alter the event that's taking place. That's what was going on with this man. He could not change his condition. He couldn't even get up and go do anything about it. He had to be taken by friends so that he may find some help and some relief. So I don't know what it is that may be going on in our lives, but sometimes there are those things that we are powerless to remove on our own. But thank God, hallelujah, we don't have to do it on our own. Just like I declared to you earlier, he is able. His presence makes all the difference in the world. Thank God that that man had four friends who had enough confidence in Jesus for him. If we can get him in there, we can get him healed. The Lord will touch him. Amen. So they go to the rooftop, and after they broke through, my God, you got to have a determination. It's not just easy to get up there. Then you got to break your way through. Sometimes you got to push your way through the press when you get in the house. In order, they couldn't get in, but they made their way. I've got to get in his presence. That's the reason that just church, checking the box, doesn't do anybody any good. Just to get up and say, well, I went. No, I don't get up just to say I went. I don't preach just to say, well, I gave a little homily out there. No, I preach for effect. I declare, thus saith the Lord, for the power of the effect of the declaration, because I have faith in Jesus. I have faith in his presence because there's too many documented testimonies declaring what he can do. You never know what service that you're going to push your way into that you have to take the roof off of the situation that's going on in your life and push your way through and make your way in to his presence. You got to get through the doubters. You got to get through the fingernail clippers. You got to get through the checkbook balancers. Come on. You got to make your way through the baby players. Are you hearing me? You got to make your way past the board and the humdrum who's sitting two rows over and three rows back. You got to push your way into his, because everybody that comes in isn't driven by a desire to be in his presence. Did you just say all that stuff? Yep, I did. I just thought about what I just said. Not wrong. Those of us who know his power to save and heal and to deliver should now be actively involved in reaching those who are still bound, still oppressed, still sick, still afflicted, still lost, and do all that we can do to bring them into his presence. That is, if we have enough faith and trust in the declaration of the word that's being preached in the house, that we know if they'll come, his presence is going to show up. And if they can, get past everything. That's why it's so important that we be reverent in church. Amen? I'm not talking stoic and silent. I'm talking about reverent, because you never know what hell someone's living in on the row in front of you or the row behind you. Are you hearing me? People live through hell every week. The devil is out to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he's tormenting the minds of the people who are coming in, who are being drawn in because of his presence. Because somebody said that the word's going out over there. And man, we're really having church. The Spirit of the Lord is showing up at Hopewell. Man, you ought to come and go to church with us. And so it's important, because we never know who comes through the doors who are suffering from a condition of some type of palsy that has them stricken and paralyzed, so sub that they can't even move, they can't even hardly go about, and yet they got enough strength to come because you were excited enough to tell them, and they made their way in. And my Lord, let's not let it be a disappointment when they get into the house that his presence is here. You never know what doctor's visit somebody's had this past week. We never know what devastating news someone may have got, or they may have a wider smile because they got a good report. Not every report is bad. Right? Sometimes we get that affirmating report that says, the Lord is at work. And so we ought to be the one shouting the loudest. Woo! I got a good report. We ought to be excited. We ought to be trying to get others in the house. Just by a point of curiosity, how many of you know today, without a doubt, that Jesus has touched you in some direct, specific way? You know it. Where you at? You know it. You know, if it hadn't been for Jesus and his presence, it would just be too late. We know it. And if you know it, my Lord, and he's done that for you. And we look around the room and we see how many others that he's done it for. Why can't he do it for the ones who couldn't or didn't raise their hand? Amen, he can. Why can't he do it for those that we come in contact with, who share with us? If we'll just give them a minute or two in conversation, it won't take somebody long. They're looking for somewhere to vent. They're looking for somewhere that they can find help. They're looking for someone who'll give them hope. And my Lord, you and I are bound up and wrapped in help and hope. Amen, you and I have it. And you can share it with them when you tell them, Jesus is your answer. And we can call on him right now. And I want you to come come and worship with me. When they couldn't come near for the press. Do you know there's some things that you're not going to get without fighting for? There are some things that won't come without pressing in. There's some bondages, there's some habits, addictions, lust of your flesh, sicknesses and diseases, strongholds of the mind that aren't going to change until we're willing to press. Somebody said one time, if it's worth having, then it's worth fighting for. And if it works that way in the house of God, then I guess Matthew 11 and 12 kind of pins it right. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I guess Paul had it right when he was telling the church at Corinth, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. Amen. I guess Paul had it right when he was talking to the church in Ephesus. He said, when you haven't done all you can do to stand, he said, stand therefore, having put on the whole armor of God. If you need armor, then that means there's a fight about to take place. My Lord, there's a battle about to go down. Amen. I despise everything about the devil. Do you know how uncomfortable it is sleeping in your armor? I don't take it off. I don't lay my armor aside. Hey, hallelujah. I don't take off my helmet of salvation. Why? Because I need it in my dreams. Amen. I need my mind protected by the presence of God. I need my mind saturated with the word of God, that when I lay me down to sleep and I pray the Lord my soul to keep, I know that it's not just a children's nursery rhyme prayer. I can lay down and say, now, Lord, I pray my soul to keep. And if my life leaves me, my last breath in my sleep, my soul is the most important thing. Hallelujah. And if the Lord is the keeper of my soul, then I can lay down and have a peaceful night's rest. You can have a peaceful night's rest regardless of what your bladder does to you. Yep. Regardless, those cat naps in between those trips to the bathroom can garner you more rest than not waking up till the morning. If he who keeps you, isn't it wonderful to know his presence is real? They couldn't get in for the press. There was a day that news came to Jesus about a good dear friend of his, Lazarus. The friend whom he loved grew sick and had died. He got word before Lazarus died. And the scripture says he tarried. Now I know if you're like me, don't wait around, Lord. If you're coming, come on. Huh? If you're going to come anyway, I'd just assume you come on. Amen. If you're going to show up, I'd just assume you show up on day one. It's day four. So he and his disciples, he's telling them, you know, hey, I got word our buddy's sick and he's sleeping. I said, well, Lord, if he's resting, it's good for you to rest when you're sick. He said, no, you don't understand, boys. He did. Well, we need to get on over. We'll get there. Been a long day. I preached hard today. I'm going to rest. We'll go tomorrow. Well, he shows up 4 days later. But I'm telling you, he makes the difference. That's the whole point of all this. When he shows up, he makes the difference. Now, here comes Sister Martha running out, who's had a few encounters with Jesus. Martha, Martha. She said, Lord, now she's trying to change her ways. Lord, I know that if you'd been here, You would have healed him and he wouldn't have died. I know it. So she's proclaiming her faith, right? Martha. I'm the resurrection and life. So she's gonna double up on this faith thing. She'd been paying attention. When she finally sat down with Mary at his feet, she was paying attention. Oh, I know that he's going to live again. Martha, you're still not getting it, honey. I am the resurrection. And now she's starting to scratch her head. Where's his stone at? Where's his mark? You ever gone to the graveyard and you try to find a loved one or a friend and you have to ask the caretaker, where's section so-and-so, right? Where's their marker? If a family member tells you, well, we finally got grandma's marker and we put it up last week, you want to go see granny's marker. Well, where's it at? Well, it's third row down, four rows back toward the end. What's it look like? Well, we got granny a nice black granite stone. And it's really pretty. You can't miss it. And you get over there and there's five black granite. Where did you lay him? Well, he's over here. Well, let's go. Well, Lord. And then here Martha shows up. The real Martha shows up. Well, Lord, it's been 4 days. He's stinking now. Where'd that faith go? What happened to Martha's faith? All of a sudden, Lord, if you'd have been here, he would not have died. Hallelujah. Is it like if he didn't show up when you wanted him, he can't still turn around what you need? I mean, is that what the deal is? And he goes a little bit further saying, you know, there's a resurrection coming. Oh, I know he's going to live again in the resurrection. I know what's going to happen. You're still not getting this. I am able. Where's the stone? Roll the stone away. Lord, the boy stinks. He's been 4 days. And you know his spirit only hangs around by tradition 3 days. He done gone. The boy's gone. There's no hope bringing him back. Just get the rock out the way. Some of you have got stones rolled up and he's trying to do some stuff in your life and you won't move the rock. Where's the issue? Well, Lord, you know, it's too late now. My Lord, I've done had to live through it. Done had to deal with it. Why fool with it now? Oh, my Lord, I'm preaching to somebody. Why change it now? We've done greed. We've done paid the mourners off. You know, they hired them. We ain't got time. What time is it? Is it really? You watching me, ain't you, Camo? Grandson got me on the clock. So you want me to hurry? Now what you gonna say? Huh? Where was I at? We got stones in front of situations and issues that we refuse to move. What are you saying? They had to break their way in to gain access. Sometimes you've got to roll some things out of the way to grant him access. My God, I'm preaching to you now. Some of you got your own stones rolled up, and you think because he didn't do it when you thought you needed it done that he can't do it now. I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter if it's 1 day late, 2 day late, 3 day late, 4 day late. It doesn't matter when, but when his presence shows up, he says, roll the stone away, get the thing out of the way. When he declares a word to you and you show up and he shows up and you're together and he says, if you'll get it out of the way, I'll deal with it. He don't want to know about your faith. He don't want to know that you understand theology, eschatology. He don't want to know that you were listening on rapture course day. He wants you to get the stone out of the way. Get the obstruction out of the way. My Lord, do you know there's 3 more points to this? We'll never get it today. You got to get it out of the way. You got to roll it out of the way. Just move the stone. I'll take care of the rest. That's what he said. Just give it to me. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. And then we hear that declaration. Lazarus, come forth. That's not what happened. He lifted up his voice. Oh. I've heard it said, you know, he could not just declare, come forth. I don't know how many flat spots was in the cave that he was put in. But if he'd have just said, come forth, when access was granted, everybody in there would have come out. So he had to be specific. Lazarus, come forth. I preached this before and I love it. Somebody in the mummy rap lane didn't wrap his feet tight. They give old Lazarus a little wiggle room. They didn't have him just bound up tight. The one at the feet kindly let down on the job of the burial wrap. They give him just enough room to come out. Lazarus, come forth. I can hear him in there. I'm coming, Lord. I'll be out just a minute. Somebody get this off of me. He hadn't been there long enough for it to start to rot. Hello? It don't been 4 days. He couldn't rip it. He couldn't hook out on it. But he made his way out. And man, do you know if you just give him access, doesn't matter how bound you feel like you are, you got enough room to get to him. You got enough wiggle to get to him. Doesn't matter how bound up, how tightly you feel like you're wound. If he calls, you start making your way. It'll get easier. It'll get easier as you go. You have to press through some things. Don't have time to preach to the woman with the issue of blood. She came up behind in the crowd, the press. She had to push her way in. You know, sometimes you got to keep enough faith to get you in. But once you get in, he takes over. Once you get in his presence, he does the rest. Right? But you got to have enough faith to get there. You got to have enough trust and confidence. They uncovered the roof. When they uncovered the roof, they laid the bed down. There's a principle in our faith. What goes up first must go down. The way up is down. How so, Pastor? We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Why? So that he may exalt us, lift us up, in due season. We humble ourselves because there is an anointing that will never accompany the proud. The self-assured, the self-sufficient. There's an anointing that will never come to those who refuse to go down to self. Into self-denial, down to submission, down in obedience, down in humility. We have to be obedient as Naaman. Naaman was angry when he received the instruction from the prophet. He wanted the man of God to come out and do some big whoopity-woo over him, and he didn't do it. He sent his servant out and said, get yourself to Jordan and dip 7 times and everything will be fine. Mad. Left kicking rocks. But he went. He had to go down. Where'd Jeremiah go? He went down to the potter's house. And he saw work upon the wheel. David went down into the valley of Elah.
and faced his giant. But he's elevated as king of Israel. The way up is down. So they let him down into the Lord's presence. And he hears, your sins be forgiven. Tears everybody in the room up. Stand with me. I'm going to wind it down. I won't make you stand long if you're on your feet. But if you're sitting, we're good for another 15. So stand. I'll feel sorry for you if you're standing. And I want to keep you 12. But sin is the first issue. It's the first issue of priority in our lives. It has to be taken care of first. What's that mean? If you've not repented of your sins, you have to repent first. You have to accept Christ as Savior before accessing Him as healer. Deliverer, provider. So sin is the first issue. And Jesus wanted them to know that. Oh, you're speaking blasphemies. There's nobody can forgive sin but God. And he wasn't blaspheming. He was making a point to let them know who he was right up at the beginning of this thing. And he understands the conversation because he knows their thoughts. You need to go through and study in the New Testament how many times that the word declares and he discerned their thoughts. And he knew. He knew what everybody was thinking all the time. Can't hide anything from him. You, me, we can't hide anything from him. He knows. He knows. So he said to them, so that you know that I am who I proclaim to be, which is easier, to say to this man your sins are forgiven, or to say to him, rise, take up your bed and walk? But so that you know that I can do both, I'm going to prove this to you. He said, arise. Arise. Get up from your lower estate to a vertical estate. Do you realize the prodigal son had to have a declaration in his mind before he went? He saw the whole journey from the pig pen. He said, Dad's servants has got it better than this. He said, I will arise and go to my father's house. He charted out the whole journey. He knew when he got there, Dad would accept him too. You got to know that he'll accept you. You got to make your own self-declaration. You got to stand up in your mind. You got to stand up in your thinking. You got to stand up out of your depressed state and condition. You got to stand up in your emotions. You have to make a personal declaration. I will arise. Take the roof off, move the stone out of the way, whatever your obstacle is, whatever's restricting you from allowing him access, and if it's sin in your life, that's got to be taken care of. You have to repent and accept Christ first. Too many people want his blessings without his lordship, but you don't get it. You don't get the blessing without his being Lord of your life. And you don't have that without confessing that you are a sinner and you need him to save you from yourself. Wow. So sin's got to be took care of first. But so that you know, he's able to do both.
arise, take up your bed and walk. And they were all blown away. Never seen anything like this in all of my days. So, could they deny that the man's sins were forgiven? I don't think so. Because they could not deny that he got up and walked out. So that you know the first is done, I'm going to do the second just to prove it. Father, I love you today.